Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's special guest, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute. Gerald Celente, director of the Trends Research Institute, produces the Trends Journal with hard-hitting, in-depth analyses of the economic, social, political, and cultural trends. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Got a copy right here of the Trends Journal. Must read. Front page reads in bold print, "Democracy, it's dead. The Greeks created it, and they destroyed it." What part did unscrupulous lenders play in that scenario, in the downfall of democratic societies?
Well, go back to July 5th. There was a referendum in Greece. The people voted whether or not to accept the Troika's austerity measures, the Troika being the European Union, European Central Bank, and the IMF, the International Mafia Federation. I believe that's what it means. And the people voted 62% against it. 1 week later, the Greek government sold out the people. The Syriza party and Tsipras, their prime minister. Not only did they say to the people, "We don't care what your vote was, we're going to even make it worse for you," and they accepted austerity measures worse than the ones than the people voted against. And I'm not making that up. That's a fact. So what this should tell everyone is that you don't count. It's we the little people, whether it's in Greece or the United States. Look what happened several weeks ago. The Justice Department, Just Us Department, it should be called, because they're the only ones that they go after, is Just Us. And look what they did. They found six banks, convicted them of felonies for rigging the Forex and LIBOR rates, were LIBOR rates and the Forex, the currencies and the interest rates. What did they do? Not one head rolled. Nobody goes to jail for committing felonies. Why wasn't your signal light on? You went over the yellow line. Let me see your license and registration. Where'd you come from? You have anything to drink? Break our chops for every little thing because it's a neo-feudal society. They just proved it with Greece. It's not a democracy. You have two separate rules for the economic elite and the political nobility. And the rest is we, the little people. And you can see it in everything. The wealth gap between the rich and the poor. What do you have? You have 85 people in the world have more dough than 3.5 billion. You have 400 people in the United States, of which now we're seeing who they are the contributors to the presidential reality show candidates. And what are they worth? $2.25 trillion. I would never be jealous of these disgusting human beings who rob so much from society and give back so little. So what I'm saying is, to answer your question, it's bankism. Nothing has changed since Jesus Christ drove them out of the temple. They just changed their names. They became Citigroup. They became J.P. Morgan Chase. They became Goldman Sachs. And the proof is right there. What happened in Greece is proof for everybody to watch. We don't count. Period, paragraph. We're too small to save. The others are too big to fail.
Shouldn't we be asking ourselves, are they too big to fail or are they too big to bail? Because who is actually bailing out these oversized corporations and financial institutions?
Well, look what happened over with Greece. What's the big deal over here? A bunch of French, German, and banks in the Netherlands made bad bets. Simple. That's the end of this. The banks made bad bets. But get it in your head. You gotta pay back the banks.
That act that was put in place during the Great Depression, which separated the financial institutions from the gambling trading side. In other words, the investment banks could not really get involved with the money center banks, which protected our deposits to keep the bankers from gambling with our money. Authorized or legalized the entire gambling mentality throughout a system which was supposed to be there to facilitate mom and pop businesses and corporations to the benefit of society.
When I was a kid, they used to have a thing called banker's hours. I think it was 9 to 3, or maybe 9 to 4, maybe you're right, I'm not sure. It was a very boring, dry business. the way it's supposed to be. And you know the guy that really put this thing into motion, people forget, is Jimmy Carter. That's right. He was the one that began to do away with the usury laws that allowed banks to charge any kind of interest rates they wanted. And it began with Carter, accelerated under Nixon, and Clinton killed it. And then, of course, it just keeps going, you know, just one after another.
Turn back to the Trends Journal. It's packed, as usual, with must-read information. You really delve deep into the Grexit.
Again, we cover anything from energy to the millennials to healthcare to artful aging. I mean, we really do cover the gamut. You know, there's no magazine like it. As you see, it's 54 pages, full color, and, you know, there's really no magazine like it anywhere. And it's history before it happens. And we're also launching Occupy Peace, of course. And the website, by the way, I encourage people that are interested in just considering peace to go to occupypeace.us. This is an action plan for peace. This isn't about praying and oming and chanting. Now, this is we have a plan to put in place. Close the bases overseas. Honor thy founding fathers. Bring home the troops. Rebuild America. Instead of building highways in Afghanistan, we fix our rotting infrastructure. And also, the Congress hasn't voted to go to war since World War II. And we're going to force Congress that any time we become involved in a foreign entanglement, that they must vote on it. And one other little caveat, being that the senator's sons never go, we want to have on each state ballot a referendum that we, the people, will tell them how to vote, because we're the ones who pay for the war with our money and our lives. So that's a big part of the magazine as well, or a feature of the magazine, I should say. And the other thing is what's going on in the world now on the economic front. Chris, I believe the equity market crash is going to come before the end of the year.
You've got a lot of strong company there. I mean, I could just name a litany of folks. The list is growing, it seems, almost daily. Certainly been a fun time on Wall Street now since 2009, hasn't it? You know, I was looking just last night. It's funny you'd bring this up, at the Fed's balance sheet. And it's just startling to see how we increased nearly 100-fold the debt, the quantitative easing, if you will, on that balance sheet from 2009. And it hasn't stopped since. But we're starting to see signs that maybe the Fed's not going to be as accommodative anymore. Do you think that they're just along for the ride, or are they pulling the strings here?
No, it's out of control, and there are two indicators that people that we're looking at that tell the story and why we're making this forecast. We're seeing what's going on with oil. It's hit down 50% from last year at this time, and this is the peak driving season. You're looking at Brent crude as we speak under $50 a barrel. And so what's going on, it's not just an oversupply, it's a lack of demand. And commodities, according to the Bloomberg Commodity Index, they're at 2002 lows. Copper, iron ore, a ton of iron ore is selling for around $50 a ton, metric ton. It was going for $191 in 2011. Think of the energy sector and the great boom in shale, and everybody bragging about all these towns popping up across North Dakota and all these areas. And then you look at the amount of junk bonds in the energy business. They comprise 15% of all the junk bonds in America. KKR announced yesterday that one of the companies that they funded, they're taking a $4 billion loss on it. The company's going bankrupt. Then you look at what's going on in Brazil. The real, the currency, so the commodities and currencies are telling the story. It's down to 13-year lows. You look at the Canadian dollar. It's now down to 2004 lows, and Canada is in a recession. They're oil rich, and now they're getting money poor. Australia, the Australian dollar's down 20% against the U.S. dollar. Biggest exports, iron ore and other raw materials. Bolivia, Chile, Santiago now is getting flooded with vacancies, office vacancies, from the downturn in copper. What I'm saying is, when you look at these natural resource-rich countries that are no longer exporting because, going back to China, whose stock market has crashed and the frauds are trying to pump it up with all their schemes, like you can't do any short selling. If you have grade A bonds and you have a lot of stock and you have a lot of them, you can't sell them for 6 months. Oh, and by the way, we're pulling half the shares off. You're not going to be allowed to trade them. And oh, and by the way, also, we're going to pump in about $400 billion to pump up the market, and on and on and on. So the Shanghai Index has, for all intents and purposes, it crashed. And now you're looking at a slowdown in China, and China absorbs some 50% of the raw materials that I briefly mentioned, such as copper, coal, iron ore. So this is a global slowdown. Look at the numbers that just came out in retail sales in Europe. They're down. They're flat. They're nothing. Look at the retail sales in the United States, two-thirds of our GDP. Down to flat. So what we're saying is currencies and commodities are a very clear signal of where things are. But for some reason, no one in the financial community, and what I'm talking about, not the alternative, but the mainstream, has the capability or these great economists to add up currencies and commodities, one and one. Look, I have a friend of mine, a major star in the media, and I asked him to come up to Occupy Peace because he's always talking about constitutional rights and this and that. Well, I'm sorry, I can't make it here. I'll be away that weekend, because he knows where his bread is buttered.
Such a complex society today, don't you think? You don't think there's a lot of gray? Isn't it more of a reflection, Gerald, of us?
A city is what it is because our citizens are what they are. Plato. Again, there's these quotes, you know, I collect them. A slave is he who cannot speak his thoughts. Euripides. Look at the numbers that came in on ExxonMobil and Chevron. They're having their worst time in 20 years. You look at Disney. You look at all of them. One after another, the number from Ralph Lauren go up and down the line to Coach from top to bottom.
And so I think if we extrapolate forward, you know, without those earnings and without the Fed liquidity trough on the exchange floor, that might be a solid recipe for not so exciting times ahead for investors. So we've got that. What is going to fill the void here? Are we entering a more deflation-like scenario? Is that what you see?
As you know, I've been on your show a lot of years. I've never, never been one of the ones that talked about inflation. I've always said a currency devaluation, not inflation. And I used to make it very clear it's not a supply and demand issue where you have too much demand and not enough supply that creates inflation. To me, it was a devaluation of currencies that cost more to buy the product. So if you have a Zimbabwean dollar, the price of coffee hasn't changed. Your dollar has been devalued. Now, let's go to gold on that. I mentioned, I believe I said 13 years of the Brazilian real. It may be a 16-year low. It's either 13 or 16. I'm not positive. Now, I mentioned also the Canadian dollar. It's down to 2004 levels against the U.S. dollar. What's gold priced in? Dollars. So now, if you had gold and you lived in Canada and you just saw your loonie losing the kind of percentage it is, and you're holding gold, and gold is backed in dollars, or you have a Brazilian real, or if you have an Aussie dollar, who's doing better? And no one's saying that. And you're not allowed to, I guess, because nobody wants to show. That, to me, is, I've always said, why I buy gold, because of currency devaluations. And that's what I believe is going to happen to the dollar at some point. And I said, I'm saying to you, you're one of the first we're saying this to. We just said it to our subscribers yesterday. And that is that we are looking for the market crash to happen before the end of this year, if not sooner. Equities, yep.
Will we see a systemic-like follow-through?
Yeah, there's nothing there to hold it up. It's already dead. Everything is on respirators.
It's like a beautiful McMansion, isn't it? But the termites have just hollowed it out. It's waiting for a big, strong gust, and it's just going to topple over.
Again, look at wages. What did the numbers came out last week? Wage growth was at the lowest that they've been recording it since they've been recording it in 1982. It was up 0.2%.
So what you really have is a bifurcated economy where the haves, business as usual, but the majority of the bourgeois, the middle class, the working folks, good luck.
There are no, you know, the middle class is shrinking. It's gone. And now you have all these people with homes already with the taxes going up and on and on. Oh, that's the other thing they do, these low-life people impose these austerity measures. It makes perfect sense. To raise taxes on people who have lost their jobs, whose income is rapidly declining, and are deep in debt. It makes perfect sense. Let's really put the pressure on them.
You know, I've been pounding the table on this for as long as I can remember, 10 years on this show. If you look back in history, when times were tough, you don't punish people when things are going bad. You have to pull back on the reins. If you give people a break, it's a self-defeating process. And our local municipalities, I think most of all, are missing this point, that people are suffering. Yes, you need more revenues. You want more jobs. You want more services. But at the same time, you know, you can't be increasing property taxes and related expenses when only a portion of your constituents are faring well.
It's very simple. This is who they are. Why? It's not that complicated. How many more people do they have to kill around the world in the name of spreading freedom and democracy? And how much more of our money do they have to steal in names of too big to fail, bailouts, loan guarantees, tax breaks for their buddies? The people that, again, a city is what it is because our citizens are what they are. So the ones that don't stand up, speak out, and take a stand, they are culpable. You know, we're doing everything we can with Occupy Peace and bringing home the troops, sealing the borders, secure the homeland, and rebuild America. Put them to work rebuilding this nation and use that money. What they, Stiglitz, the economist, and another and his associate, they came up with $6 trillion already costing us for the Iraq and Afghan war. And now the total's down. We're still spending $35 billion a year in Afghanistan. For what? Is our country's rotting? And I got to tell you, I'm sick of hearing these loudmouth politicians shooting their mouth off. You know, you elect me, I'm going to degrade and destroy ISIS. Listen, Junior, lead the charge. And before you do that, fix Detroit, and then go down to Camden. On your way back, hit Baltimore.
Friend of the show, Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff at Boston University, comes on here and he says, folks, there is no fixing. He thinks we're on the hook for around $220 trillion with a T, when you include all of every expense, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, the whole thing. Yes, they're wonderful. We all need them. You know, we've gotten hooked on it, but it just can't be sustained. Please tell people more about the Trends Journal and all the services you provide.
TrendsJournal.com, TrendsJournal.com, and of course we have Trends in the News each weekday night, Trends Monthly besides the quarterly Trends Journal, this week's Trends, which are trend alerts, and of course Occupy Peace. That's a different site, OccupyPeace.us, but of course you could also get it by going to our Trends Research site. And we need all the people we can to help change this. As Samuel Adams said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And you're doing it. You're the guests are doing it. And if we all do it together, we could change the course. We don't have to go down with the ship.
Well, as another founding hero also pointed out, we must hang together or we will most certainly hang separately. Help out your friends. Give them a copy. Get a copy. Get a subscription and give them away as gifts. This is must read. It's on my desktop.
Oh, thanks for having me, Chris. All the best and keep up the great work.